You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Yes, you are. A Saturday morning staple here on the radio station for many, many years. Good morning. I'm Ken Connors at 905-514-790-0800 is the number to call. And your questions will be answered to the best of his ability. Sounds like you're on the witness stand here. Walter Assey from Renovco is on the line. Well, hi, Walter.
Hi, good morning. How are you, Ken?
I'm very good. How are you enjoying winter?
I am enjoying winter every day, especially when it's sunny like that. It's fine for me.
Yeah.
So there's no complaints there.
Yeah.
We're almost there. One more month and we're out of it. So
you're good. You're right.
We made it.
You sound like a hockey coach.
Yes, exactly.
You're right. Tuesday is the beginning of a brand new month, March 1st on Tuesday. So we're getting there.
There you go.
We're getting there. If you get his free advice here for one full hour, 514-790-0800. Walter, hope your sleeves are rolled up. We're going to get to work. Let's start with James, who's calling on. James, hi. How are you?
Hi, guys. I installed a light switch, a dimmer switch in the living room.
Yeah.
The upper part is the dimmer, and the lower part turns it off and on. And sometimes what happens when I turn it off, I get a spark that comes. I'm worried that it might start a fire. What do you think? What's causing it? Because I have a simple connection. It was a black wire, white wire, and a copper wire that you ground. And so, and it's a box. And then there's the outer part that you see. So I don't know why there's a spark. Can you explain?
You want to check if you have a loose wire in your dimmer. That is not really, you want to check that out and you want to make sure that it's not an issue because, I mean, when you see a spark in anything in electricity, you should have it checked out. That's for sure. It might be a quick fix. Yes. How old is the dimmer?
I just bought it at Canadian Tire about a month ago.
You installed it yourself?
Well, there's not much to it. It's a black wire, white wire, and a grounder.
No, I understand. But did you install it yourself or someone else did it for you?
No, I did it.
Yeah.
Okay. So check if the wires are, check if something is loose in there first. And if not, and it keeps on doing it, then I would recommend either you return it and ask for a new one. Maybe it's a defective unit. Or maybe something is not compatible with the light itself. I know that we have a lot of cases where dimmers and pot lights are not compatible, and then you see some flickering in the pot lights, and that's not usually something wrong with the electricity. It's just that the dimmers and the pot lights are not compatible, and you just have to buy a different type of dimmer that is more compatible with the pot light or vice versa. But of course, the dimmer is always easier to do.
But James, you know, when it comes to electricity, you really can't fool around. I mean, especially if you, the sparks are coming out, you need that looked after by, I guess, a professional electrician who'll do everything to code, by the way, right? Because it's dangerous.
That's right. In home renovations, there are certain things where, you know, everybody should draw the line. It's electrical, plumbing, roofing, things or anything structural. You should know your limits. And, you know, because in plumbing, you do a mistake, could destroy good portion of your house with water damage. Same thing with electricity. You don't want to have a fire and roofing as well. So these are the things where, you know, you kind of have to make a decision to say, okay, do I call a professional or do I do it myself? Is it really worth it?
Absolutely.
So in our jobs, that's, you know, for example, that's for us a very important thing. Sometimes even if it's a simple connection, you want to have someone licensed doing it, and you know, to avoid any trouble and insurance as well. Don't forget, Ken, you have a fire. The first question they're going to ask you once they investigate the cause is who installed that dimmer, who installed that pot light, who installed that wire, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you say, well, I did it myself, then you're in a whole world of trouble. So, you know, there are many ramifications. It's not just about the job and getting it done right. It's about also the liability thereafter. If something happens, someone was hurt, so on and so forth. And I do remember a while back, I have a client for years, and he's a surgeon. And he was well into his 80s. He was in shape. He would jog every day. He had a thing. Every time there was a big snowfall, he would go up on the roof.
Oh, no.
And he would shovel the snow. Yeah, and he would shovel the snow. And every year I would see him for a different thing. And I'd say, why do you keep doing that? You know, just at one point, you're going to have to understand your limitations. And it's not really worth it. And he did have a steep roof. So one year, sure enough, I come there and he's on the wheelchair and fell and broke his back while removing snow from his roof.
Yeah.
So it really worth it, right? So every time you want to do something, you're going to have to kind of weigh out the options and what are the risks associated with it. And then from that point onward, decide, is it really, am I really saving money or am I, you know, paying out of pocket, to do something that is not necessary to get done.
Yeah, so. safety first. Walter from the text line at 514-800. Just, I mean, we've talked about this before, but the question really is about turning the water off when you leave the house for vacation. Are you a supporter of turning that water off if you're leaving for an extended time?
I am, and I'll just, you know, don't forget we have a department for fire and flood restoration. And, so I get to see a lot of things firsthand and I get to hear a lot of stories of what happened. And that for me is, you know, it's a blessing and a curse at the same time because it makes me extra careful in everything I do, right? Mm. So it's not about, because there's a misconception about plumbing, right? I mean, you hear people saying, well, what if my pipes freeze? I do it even if I leave in the summer, okay? Because what if a pipe bursts? Just simply... a pipe burst in a toilet or just, you know, it got old or a connection got loose or whatever. Things could happen and we see it all the time. You know, a lot of the plumbing leaks that we see is not necessarily with people that were on vacation or because something froze, just because a pipe was old and just let go or something with bad connection and just got loose or something like that. Mm-hmm. So if you're outside your home for many days, that damage that could have been contained and maybe one room could potentially cause a whole damage to the rest of the house. And then you have a lot of questions to answer for the insurance company, because as you probably would know, you would have to advise the insurance company that you're going on vacation. And every 2 days, someone have to come and make sure that there's nothing wrong with the house. So if the water is closed, you know, why do you have to even worry about that? Because that person that's checking every 2 days, is he really checking? What if he can't make it one day and he couldn't show up and something happens and, you know, or, you know, it happened the day that he's not showing up. So there's a lot of questions and just a simple thing of shutting a valve and, you know, draining the pipes and leaving and having a very secure mind about it without taking any chances. There are things that you can install even when you're at work. Like we used to have this device that Jan used to love, which is the AquaTrip. I don't know if they have it anymore. I don't think they have it in Montreal anymore. But when they did have it, it was great because after 5 minutes, the system will detect that there's something wrong and it will shut off your water. There is a Quebec company that have that and it's automatic and it does by itself. Mm-hmm. But I think it only does it after 20 minutes. Oh. So 20 minutes is a fair amount of time for the water damage to happen, but it's better than for it leaking the whole day.
It's true.
So that's something that I definitely would install in every house if possible. Because, you know, like you said, you go out for supper with your friends, it could happen. You go out, you sleep one day in a chalet, it could happen. So just get it done. And you know, it's not a very expensive thing to do either. So it's very affordable and you could just have a plus, I'm sure, insurance companies will have additional rebates.
Yeah,
if you have a device like this installed, so it will save you money compounded on many years thereafter because of the savings that you would do on the insurance policy.
Very good. Walter Rossi from Renovco is here for the full hour to answer your questions. Call now and grab a line at 514-790-0800. The number again to call now, we'll get you on the air and you can ask your question to Walter and we'll offer up some solutions or options for you. 514-790-0800.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
You can call right now and get some free advice on your problem at home, renovation project, something that needs to be fixed. Walter Assey from Renovco is answering our questions this morning. 514-790-0800. Call now, 514-790-0800. Walter from the text line, this is from Franco in Villeray. He says our basement has a separate entrance from the street. We want to renovate our basement and turn it into a rental property. What do I need to consider as far as installing a functioning kitchen in the basement? Walter? Ben, is this channel up?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. I was on mute, so I apologize.
It happens.
I was talking to myself for a while, but I answered the question, so I don't know. I'm always right when I talk to myself. So when you're doing a basement, yeah, I got the question.
Okay.
So when you're doing a basement, an apartment in a basement as a rental, there's many things to consider besides, like, we're going to talk about the kitchen. So I'm hoping that he also considered, the exits, because for safety reasons, mm-hmm. you're going to go to the city, you're going to ask for a new address. So you do have to have an emergency exit in case of fire beside the front door. We want to make sure that you have that in place. That's number one, because that's a non-starter. If you don't have that, then you're not going to get the permit to get the basement done. As far as the kitchen is concerned, it's all about the plumbing, right? So you want to ensure that you have your drains, you want to ensure you have your feed pipes, and you'll make a plan. I mean, obviously you want to be close to where the plumbing is, so you don't pay a lot of money in connections and drains and breaking the concrete and so on and so forth. So when you do your plan, try to be strategic and try to place the kitchen somewhere, and the bathroom as well, obviously, somewhere close to the plumbing. Again, it's a rental property, so you want to maximize your profits and try to save as much money as you can. When renting, always look at something that is more durable. Stay away from things that can get damaged easier when, you know, because a lot of times we have tenants that do not take care of necessarily everything the way you would take care of it yourself. So something that is water resistant.
Mm-hmm.
Even a countertop, yes, you might pay a bit more to have something like a solid quartz or granite or something like that, but you could get it cheaper if you go with a thinner type of quartz or granite. These things, again, it's for the long term. You don't want to be replacing a door or a cabinet or a countertop every time you have a tenant leaves the apartment. So these things, what we look at really in when we're doing kitchens, is durability, especially for rentals. There is a misconception that you want to go cheap. But with rentals specifically, we see it all the time. We get calls. We have many, many landlords that we work with. And we, you know, they make the mistake of going with something cheap at the beginning. And then they realize it. And they start shifting to waterproof material, things that are solid. They pay a bit more in advance, but on the long term, it actually pays them back in dividends. That's number one. Number two, mm-hmm. it attracts a better tenant, right? So if you have something nicely decorated, we always want to have, you know, the better tenant. So a better tenant usually could have a bit more sophisticated taste, right? So if you cater to that, then you're going to have a better tenant. That's pretty much what I would look for in a kitchen in a basement rental, that is. But again, I remind him, please look into your exits before, because without them, the city will not give you the permit to rent that apartment.
But will that separate entrance into the basement, will that suffice in terms of an exit?
Well, you have to have a front and a back, right? So if it cannot just be one entrance. In a normal basement, like, for example, in your home, your exit in the basement, if you have a bedroom, have to be a regress window. So a window that is big enough that you can crawl out of it, crawl out of it in case of a fire or something like that. If you don't have that, you're not allowed to have a bedroom in the basement, even if it's one home. So even if you're not renting it. So the same applies, a bit more rigorous on a rental. They want really for you to have two types of exits in case of a fire. And we get calls all the time about people wanting to do that, but then not realizing that this is the prerequisite. So we don't want people to spend the money and then have that as a shock at the end, because you know the city won't give them the permit. Always make these types of researches prior, you know, even prior to making plans, right? Mm-hmm. Anytime you have something that is major to do, know the rules and the regulations before you start your plan, so you don't pay twice for the plan and you don't delay the process either.
Absolutely. Great advice.
You know, we see that we see that often, Ken. You start a plan and then there's many, many mistakes in the plan just because, yes, the idea is there, but there's certain things that cannot be executed due to the law of the city, due to, I had a client that paid thousands of dollars for an extension plan, but he didn't do the proper research with the city limits and his square footage was way too big.
Oh. Okay.
So guess what? You have to throw all the money down out the window and you have to restart from scratch. I could have told them that. We could have told them that from day one, because that's the first thing we look at. You know, certificate of location, how much mass he have built already, what he's allowed to build, and so on and so forth, and in case, so we don't, you know, double our efforts and
all right,
and the spending on the client side.
Very good. Walter Rassi from Renovco answering your calls, 514-790-0800. We have about 2 minutes, so we'll sneak Steve in. Steve, you're calling about a bathtub issue?
I'm a complete unhandyman, and we have a bathtub leak. It's leaking into the vestibule, the floor below. It's a bathtub that's in the corner of the bathroom, and around it is all ceramic. How am I supposed to get to the pipes and the leak? Is there something that I'm missing? Or
There's many things that you're missing. So before we get to the leak and the pipes, let's just try to zero in on the problem. It might be there might be no need for you to go into the pipes. If let's just ask the questions first, and then we'll go to the solutions.
Sure.
Let me ask you: does it leak all the time?
Well, as soon as the water's running, it leaks through. Yes.
Okay, so in a way, it's good that you know that, because sometimes when a bathtub leaks, it could be many, many things. And you know, not necessarily all the time you have to call a plumber for that, believe it or not. The reason being is we see often that the leak is not coming from the pipes, the leak is coming from the walls around the bathtub, or there's silicone missing, or so on and so forth.
Right.
So the way we kind of, you're going to go by an elimination process. And that's the thing when you have a leak, in order to know which professional to call, so you don't start spending money left, right, and sideways, you know, call the plumber, call the ceramic guy, call this guy, and call that guy. So when you open the tub and it leaks right away, it might be that tells me, without you being in the shower, that's probably even coming from the drain, or it's coming from the drain, or it's coming from the feed pipes themselves. Okay. Now, in the back of is there any trap door that you can access from the back of that tub?
Usually
you have to have some type of.
It's really in the corner of the room, so it's along two walls, and the ceramic is all in front. I don't see any trap door whatsoever.
Steve, I'm
in
just
the back.
Steve and Walter, I'm just going to jump in. Steve, if you can hold, we're just going to take a couple of minutes for news, and then come back, and we'll wrap up with you. Is that okay?
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
You can use that thumb to dial the phone and get some free advice. Walter Rassi from Renovco is answering your questions here on 514-790-0800. We're going to get back to Steve. Steve, thanks for waiting. We got a bathtub issue. Where are we picking this up, Walter?
Well, here's the thing, Ken. I mean, the fact that when you open the water and then that's when we have the leak tells me that it could be coming either from the drain or it could be coming from the faucet itself. Because think about it, if you had a burst pipe, it will leak all the time.
All right, Steve's still on the line there, Walter.
Steve, are you still there? Yep. You're still there, right?
Still there, yeah.
I'm still here, okay. Yeah.
Perfect. So your problem might be coming from the drain, or it might be coming from the faucet itself. So if it's coming from the drain, you don't need to open the wall necessarily. You need to open underneath the tub to access it, if possible, or if you have a trap door in the back. Now, wherever the faucet is, technically you're supposed to have some type of an access panel. Do you have any access panel in that area?
No, that's what I'm amazed about, because again, it's really kitty corner and against two walls, and then the whole front goes from one wall to the other at a 45 degree angle, and it's all ceramic, and I have no trap door whatsoever. So okay, would a plumber
from the
be
back,
equipped?
I'm...
From the back, it's the wall. There's no access.
Well, that's exactly what you would need to do. If the back, specifically if the back is a closet or somewhere that you know behind the door, you would need to cut a nice square piece in the drywall and create an access trap door there for any future issues, right? So yeah. If you don't have one now, it would be a great idea to put one, because believe it or not, that will actually save you money. Instead of starting to break things from the bottom and the top and the side and the ceramic and so on and so forth, just zero in on the problem. You want to get your, sneak your head in yeah. there and look. If it's a leaky faucet, sometimes it's just a question of changing your washer and you're set to go. If it's a leaky drain, sometimes just with some plumbing putty, you can fix that yourself. You just have to go on YouTube and see how to use a plumber's putty. If this drain is not set straight, that's a bit, yeah. Go ahead.
If I call a plumber, will he be equipped to remove the ceramic to gain access?
And again, you don't want to remove the ceramic first. That's the last thing you want to do. You want to remove the back wall. If you remove the ceramic, you're in for a big bill afterwards to fix the ceramic. So what okay. you want to do is you want to have the access from behind the wall to see where the water is coming from. Okay?
Yeah, it's impossible to do it on the back wall. It's the outside wall of the house. So, and the other side is the outside of the house. Both of them, it's kind of in the corner of a nook. There's no access behind.
Oh, wow. Okay, and you do have plumbing on an exterior wall. That's another thing that we have to look at. Okay, so then in this case, yeah, you're better off calling a plumber and seeing how they could do it with minimizing the least amount of damage. If we're lucky and you can get him to, I don't know, pass the camera and the drain first, because from the drain, you might be able to do it from the bottom. So you cut a hole in the ceiling at the bottom and you could fix it from the bottom rather than break all this nice ceramic. It's probably going to cost you cheaper to do a patch of drywall than to replace all the ceramic around the top.
Okay.
Oh, well, great idea. Thank you very, very much for your help.
Good luck with it, Steve. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Bye now. Let's go to Asuntina. Hi, Asuntina.
Yes. Hello, Ken. Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. You're on the air with Walter.
Yes, I know, but I have a question for you. I was listening to the radio this morning, and I heard you mentioning that Monday was the 1st.
No, I said Tuesday
of
was
March?
Tuesday's the 1st of March.
Did you say Tuesday? Did you say Monday?
I can't remember what I said 5 minutes ago, Asuntina, but...
Okay, all right. Well, because I just noticed that we're the 26th of February, so I was wondering how you got the 1st of March on Monday. If I'm wrong, I don't know. But I think I heard you mentioning Monday the 1st, and this is why I called to let you know that...
Thank goodness.
I may have misunderstood, but there could have been a mistake.
They tend to happen every now and then, but Asuntina, so you're not calling with a home improvement question, right?
No, I'm not. No,
okay.
I'm not. The question was for you for that particular concern.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Ken needs to watch your dates. You need to watch your dates, Ken.
Let's go to Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, and you?
Good. You want to talk to Walter about an oil furnace issue?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes it whistles. I always have it serviced, and they don't know what it is. It doesn't come on all the time, but when it does, it's very annoying. Does he have any idea what it could be?
It could very much be the fan belt. The next time that they come to service it for you, get the fan belt inspected, because that could just be either to adjust it or something like that. It's nothing that is usually serious.
Okay.
But it could just be a question of a fan belt. I don't think you should fiddle with that yourself, mind you. But I don't know when are they due to come back and service your furnace in the spring, I guess.
Well. Yes, either spring or, you know, when they goes off. I turn my furnace off, so just before it starts again, because when it's off, it doesn't happen. It's only when it's on.
Obviously,
it's only
yes,
when the furnace
exactly.
is working.
Yeah. So I would get them to check that for you when they come for the service. There's no need for you to call for a service call now and just pay money for nothing.
No. Okay.
It just could be a question of just.
It could be the fan belt.
Yeah.
Okay, I will mention that to them. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jenny. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye now. Walter, we have 2 minutes before we break for traffic, so maybe we'll start with our caller, and then we'll finish up on the other side. I'm going to bring in Dave from NDG. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, I was wondering, we have a building with about 40 apartments, and anytime there's a problem in the boiler room, and the plumber comes and fixes the problem, and then when the tenants have to put on the water, there is air in between the water and all the pipes shake, bum, 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 you know, and sometimes that type of air really disrupts some of the plumbing of the PVC pipes, and then those pipes start leaking, you know. Is there a solution by which the plumber can, before he turns on the water, remove the air bubble?
This is water hammering, and that happens when you do have air in the pipes. So you're going to have to ask the plumber, or that, does he do it often, or that's something that he have to come for, or
no,
it happens once in a while?
This is like we have a dual energy boiler, you know?
Okay.
And somewhere along the line, I don't know what he does, but everybody's water is turned off, especially the hot water, you know? When you have to, because once or twice it happened, and when my kitchen sink pipes, drainage pipes is PVC. So what happens is when everything shakes, then the glue or the binding of those PVC pipes, especially when they're tightened by grooves, you know, that loosens up. So what is the solution? And also these PVC pipes, when they're put together, does the glue dry up and then again start leaking?
Well, here's the thing. Number one, you could solve that with a water hammer arrestor that could be installed to avoid that. But my question to you is, how strong is the shaking? Because it's not normal that something to get dislodged that easy. When things are shaking, usually it shakes fine, and it's not good for the pipes, and you're right, but it's not supposed to dislodge a pipe from its place that fast and every time it happens, unless you're telling me it's really a violent shaking, then there's something that we have to look at a bit further.
Dave, I'm just going to jump in and ask you to hold, okay? We'll stop for traffic and we'll come right back to you. Don't hang up, Dave. We'll be right back.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
That's right. Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovco. Walter, Dave is still on the line. Dave, you still there?
Yes, sir.
I guess we were talking about this shaking, right, Walter?
Yeah. So, I mean, what it is really, Ken, it's a form of hydraulic shock that occurs when the shutoff valve on his high-pressure water line suddenly closes. That's what water hammering is, just to kind of to put things in perspective. Now, the reason it happens is either that there's air in the pipes, either there's an excess pressure in his water line, and that is the plumber could look into that, or you have some loose piping somewhere, okay? So to kind of solve that inexpensively in the beginning, we talk about the water hammer arrestor, okay? That will create, it's a vertical pipe, which you're going to have to install next to the water valve. That's going to help alleviate the water hammering by acting as a cushion. And that's what you want. You want something to absorb the shock, if you wish. It's the air chamber in it will absorb the shock to the water once the valve closes. That's what you could do first. It's something that is inexpensive, and it usually works. But since your plumber visits that boiler room pretty often, just get them to check the pressure on the water lines as a precautionary measure as well.
But usually the plumber who comes is from SHDM, which is a city plumber. We never know when he comes. Plus, tenant is not supposed to communicate and disturb him, and he's not going to start explaining, and he's not going to take orders from a tenant. So it should be the plumbers who should be more educated if they are licensed. Don't you think so?
Yes. I mean, I don't know if you have a plumber coming often to your building. I'm just saying if you do, it's one more precautionary measure, that you should take. Usually what you want to do is you drain your plumbing system. You have to shut off the main valve, open obviously the highest faucet, drain water from the lowest point all the way down, and then install that arrestor and then take it from there. Again, you might need to get a plumber to do it if you're not manual enough, and that will be the time that you could check these things out with them as a precaution measure. The one thing about plumbing I want to say that is important, and it's fairly, I find Candace, understated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing wrong with preemptively having a plumber come to your home to check things out. You'd be surprised what you find and things that needs to be changed, updated, upgraded, unclogged. Water heaters. How many times you go to clients' homes and they have a 20-year-old water heater? Like, it's good for 10 years. It's guaranteed for 10 years. Insurance companies want you to change it every 10 years. You know, what most people don't know is even shut-off valve. There are recommended times and years, amount of years where you, again, have to preemptively change them. You don't have to wait for the problem to occur to change them. We were in a flood last week. The client got a flood. Her water main was defective. Nobody was able to close the water main.
Right.
The fire department had to come, and then the city had to come to close it from the outside. These things should not be dealt with when you have an emergency, because now you have water leaking for a few hours more until the city was able to find the bottom. It was covered with snow, and then to shut it down, and so on and so forth. So again, I can't emphasize this enough. Do a maintenance like you would do an oil change. You don't have to have the plumber every year, but if you haven't had a plumber in a while, it's a good idea to do that, just right. To do the tour of all your plumbing fixtures and make sure everything is in working order.
Yeah, but what I'm talking is I'm a tenant. I'm not an owner of the building of 40 apartments, which is owned by the city.
Okay.
So those plumbers...
Okay, sorry, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, but I have a better... I have a suggestion, can I?
Yeah, of course.
I think next time when the plumber comes to fix the boiler room, what I'll do is I'll leave my faucets half open so that when he has finished the job, there is no air in between. How about that? Will that idea work?
As long as you remember to shut down your faucet afterwards.
Oh, yeah. I'll be inside the apartment for sure.
But you don't want to have a flood.
Half open. So that immediately when he finishes his job and when I hear the water running this way, there won't be any air in my apartment pipes. Am I right?
You could definitely try that, but I want to go a bit further than that, okay? You don't own the building, and it's not really your job to do things and repair things and fiddle with things for liability purposes. You are a tenant. I would send something in writing for the owners, because you're saying that the drains are being dislodged and that could cause a water damage. You don't want to be held responsible for that either. So what you have to say, this is happening every time the boiler is being inspected. And I would like to inform you that my drains are being dislodged and I could have potentially a water damage, and it's their job to come and fix the problem.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
All right.
Thank you. Dave. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave. Hope that was some help for you. Walter, I don't know where the hour went, but thank you for a good one. Lots of information there, and we'll talk to you again next Saturday. How's that?
I'm looking forward, Ken. Thank you so much.
Walter Assey from Renovco answering the calls on the Home Improvement Show. Look at that. It's about 2 minutes to go before 10 o'clock. Another update from the newsroom is standing by. The latest out of Ukraine, of course. Staying on top of that all weekend long for you. Lisa Christensen and the Car Show is coming up next. Don't forget, 11 o'clock, Kelly Albert, Montreal Eats, 11 to noon. Have a great Saturday, a safe one. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning early at 6 o'clock on Weekends with Ken. Thanks to Ben Lang as well in the Master Control for taking care of the board. We'll be back tomorrow morning.